49ers less about the quarterback than recent Super Bowl teams tend to be?
Well, I mean, you got a guy who's thrown it a grand total of 14 times since throwing an interception in the second quarter of a divisional playoff game. You might think that, but it's not like Garoppolo is useless or has become less than. It's just the 49ers' run game and the offensive line has been so far superior to their opponents that that Kyle Shanahan keeps pressing the button. Like, the analogy I've made on my show is like a five-year-old who gets on an elevator and keeps hitting a button well after it lights up just because they like hitting it and it feels effective. That's basically what he's been doing. But I think if this game winds up on Garoppolo's shoulders, it's not what the 49ers prefer to happen, but I think he could still win it. I don't think that if that development occurs, that somehow, let's say, Coleman can't go and Mostert and Breida are for some reason not as effective in the same way Derrick Henry wasn't nearly as effective in the AFC Championship game for all four quarters as he was in the two previous games. I still think Garoppolo can still find Kittle. I mean, they hardly used him in the NFC Championship game. I mean, Kittle is a major difference maker, and Emmanuel Sanders has played in this game twice before. So I think they are equipped, but that's not their optimum path to the podium.
Rich, I think we all agree that perhaps the, not even demise, but like non-existence of Jimmy Garoppolo is being overreported. But to your point about what Kansas City did last week, I mean, I think clearly their goal would be to stop the Niners' run and force Garoppolo to beat them. All year long, that doesn't seem like something the Kansas City defense would have been capable of, but then you get last week and maybe they are.
Well, I mean, they have improved vastly. From the first half of the season to the second half of the season, they're a different unit. And obviously, that's the game. I mean, if the run game becomes less effective and Garoppolo can't find his receivers with consistency or without turning it over, then obviously Mahomes would be the far more lethal position player. So that's the way it goes. I mean, honestly, I'm already expecting this to be the biggest toss-up or one of the biggest toss-ups in the, you know, 17 years that I've been going to the game, where you could see it any way. You could see Mahomes having his moment and dominating, and you could see the 49ers' run game having their moment and keeping Mahomes off the field, and the four sets of hand in the dirt that the 49ers can put, similar to the 07 Giants, to stop an offensive juggernaut like Brady with his 50 touchdowns and Randy Moss with all his receptions. That can absolutely occur. The 49ers can get a game of life from Jimmy Garoppolo. That's, you know, entirely feasible and possible, similar to the one, you know, that he had on a Thursday night against Arizona when they were forced to win it that way this season. I could see the Chiefs maybe getting a great run game from Damian Williams, who's suddenly come along very well. And that was an underrated weapon in the AFC Championship game, certainly in the third quarter when they got to the run. I mean, I don't mean to be fence-sitting here, but all of these are absolutely feasible for Super Bowl 54, which makes it a terrific matchup.
Given the fact that technological advancements have allowed more people to bloviate more often during the two-week break between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, usually people run out of original thoughts about Wednesday. Do you have one that you don't think has been hit on enough yet?
Oh, God. I'll give you my top 10 storylines that I said the other day. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Ray? All right. Descending order, number 10 is Miami, the Super Bowl city. Since the first Super Bowl was there, was a name that's guaranteed, and then the Chiefs won the next year, and now the Chiefs are back. Obviously, the new stadium, just all sorts of neat stuff involving Miami. Then the storyline number 9 is going to involve John Lynch. Lynch is a guy that I think a lot of people are, it could be his big weekend. He can go ahead and and have a monster weekend where he's in the Hall of Fame on Saturday, and then Sunday he lifts the trophy, and then through that you can talk about his building of the team. Another storyline involves the go-to guy on the podium this week is going to be Richard Sherman. Anything he says is going to be amazing and remarkable. Another storyline is Kittle versus Kelce. That's going to be who's the greatest tight end now that Gronk. Jimmy G. Who is Jimmy G? What's going on with Jimmy G? Where did he come from? Another storyline, and through that's going to be Brady. Brady and the Patriots aren't in the game for the first time, in quite a bit. And Jimmy G's presence there brings more of the focus on what the Patriots are going to do with Brady. Mahomes all the time. Patrick Mahomes all the time. It's going to be amazing about his career. People are going to be learning for maybe the first time that he's the son of a pitcher. Because, again, don't forget, we're talking about casual sports fans. Andy Reid is going to be fascinating. But the number one storyline to me is Shanahan. It's the Shanahans and the family affair. Can the son do what the dad did? I might be missing one, but that's 9 of the 10 off the top of my head.
Rich Eisen joining us on 95.7 The Game. And Rich, Bruce Bochy and Tony La Russa have both said that they became better managers because of their World Series failure. So to what extent do you think we might be saying something very similar about whichever coach wins the Super Bowl?
Well, that's an interesting question. Before I go, I want Ray to check my work. Ray, what did you think of my storylines and my bloviating?
Well, most of those storylines have been covered already. I thought maybe you had one that you were saving that nobody had hit before.
And but wanted I think to burn with us.
But I think you've run into the same problem we all have, we're talked out.
Ray, if you're asking me if I'm being original, no. I mean, it's Super Bowl week. Well, there's always that one that we don't know where we're wondering as the media if there's a distraction because that allows us to feel like we're a factor because we're talking about it. That allows the conversation of distraction. You know, I don't know what that distraction may be. I have no earthly idea what it could be. Could come out of the podiums, you know, could come from the podiums. There's the Mostert story, you know, like that's the next step. I don't know. There may be some player we just don't know about.
Maybe it's the media sucks. Discuss.
You know what? I'm going to pass on that one since, you know, we're all part of that, Ray, right? I mean, we're all part of it.
Self-abasement is good for the soul, Steve, Rich.
Very good. So the question about Shanahan, look, Kyle Shanahan, it's kind of crazy because there were some in the bloviating sucky media, to use your phrase, Ray, had some consternation about the Browns hiring Kevin Stefanski one day after he gave his offense amassed all of a football field and a half against the 49ers, and how he, you know, the offense looked like it was coordinated by a guy who was preparing for a head coaching interview all week, and what can he do? Well, it was Shanahan 3 years ago that, well, the 49ers are turning over their one-and-done coaches again to hire a guy whose offensive play calls led to the demise of a 28-3 lead. And what does he know? Well, how we know he knows a lot. I mean, one of the more compelling behind-the-scenes NFL films footage from the NFC Championship game, I don't know if you saw it or if anybody else did, was Shanahan pointing out to an official before play that you told the official, watch for the hold that was going to come because of the play call and the way that the defender had, I guess, previously or on film had defended the play and said, watch out for the hold. And sure enough, that happened and the hold came. The guy knows a ton. I don't think he'll be caught flat-footed at all. You know, we may second guess if they lose, but it's been a remarkable run. His schemes are remarkable, even for people who aren't really into the X's and O's. You could see how different they are from others. And I wouldn't be genuinely concerned about him or what he may have learned or gleaned. Again, that's storyline number one, the Shanahans.
So just now talking about how the scheming looks different than other schemes and seems to have better results than most people. Earlier, talking about the run game, you know, you're saying they pressed their advantage so far in the playoffs. Is it possible that the advantage is just Shanahan and it doesn't matter who's on the opposing defense?
You know, we'll find out, won't we?
I guess so.
we'll find out. Frank Clark is a particular angry individual, and I think obviously he and Chris Jones, if he is healthy, makes a tremendous difference. And we will see. We will see. If Mahomes is able to light it up in the manner that we have seen previously, then the 49ers are going to have to go point for point, which we'll see if the offense is built for that, if that happens. Again, every scenario that we can sit here and game out is all feasible. It really is. And that's what makes it so exciting.
Can you give us any hope, any glimmer of hope, that there will be a sign-stealing scandal during the game?
I can't, Ray. I really can't. Because I think the NFL is banning all trash cans from being nearby. And all the massage therapy guns will be, I imagine, in blue tents and not available to be banging on any form of a trash can. So that process would be interesting. I don't think there's any buzzers. So I don't think so. I don't think we got anything for you, Ray. Just a straight up, let's see who's better than the other guy competition.
You disappoint me.
Rich Eisen. Yeah. Rich
Eisen. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be original for you, but other than that, I got nothing.
No, I want a tire fire. You're closer to the action than nearly anybody. You can put seeds in heads.
I can. Well, sure. Then yeah. Let's say that there will be a sign-stealing situation.
Nice.
And then it'll come up on Monday, and we'll talk about it and put it into some sort of report that we'll find out in March.
Can we make that number 9 on your list preemptively?
That's number 9.
Okay.
I think what we got. I think.
I forget what my number 9 is. I'm getting very upset by that.
The plan here, Rich, is just you hire a guy with a video camera and send him somewhere inappropriate, and you know, tell him to stumble over himself and accidentally say he's a member of one of the teams when he gets caught.
I don't know. Maybe that'll be for the draft in Las Vegas. That sounds more like a Vegas story to me.
Rich, with the 100th season nearly complete now, what would you say is the NFL's single biggest issue, problem going forward?
Issue or problem going forward?
Lack of sign stealing.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just hoping that there's labor peace.
Yeah.
A year from now or in the next calendar year, we do hear that there is a collective bargaining agreement, that things are going too well. The sport is too popular for this to get derailed over a financial item. Unfortunately, it's a midnight league, so usually you got to wait till 12:05 for something to get done. I just hope that's not the case. But, you know, other than that, having people enjoy it as much as they have, I just don't want it to be. I mean, the 2011 lockout still has left emotional scars on me that I don't ever want to revisit.
I want to dig in on that just a little bit. Historically,
on his emotional scars?
On the idea of a labor stoppage. Historically, ultimately, it seems to me the reason there has not often been a labor stoppage is that the players' union is not really willing to risk that for anything. Do you get the impression that there might be a more of an appetite for an actual fight here?
I don't think. I mean, obviously, there's more of an appetite to get what you want at the collective bargaining table. I don't think there's an appetite for anybody to go through a nuclear winter like 2011. That was brutal. That was not fun for anybody. Nobody liked it. And but the players have a great collective heads on their shoulders. A lot of the guys who are at the bargaining table are really smart and really smart guys who, when they put their head to it, will hopefully get what they want out of this collective bargaining agreement and won't go down the road either side of some form of a labor stoppage. Like I said, that was really brutal. I literally lost most of my hair in 2011. Like it was really awful, and I'm glad we didn't miss any games, but nobody really wants to go through that. So that would be, I guess, the major threat for it is if that does actually happen and fans do basically start shrugging their shoulders and the golden goose that's laying platinum egg stops.
The second worst thing in football after a labor stoppage, I think we can all agree, is the Pro Bowl. Who do you have?
No, you're wrong about that, Ray. It's the rule that you fumble through the end zone, you lose the football.
Hmm.
That's the worst.
Do you have a top 10 of those?
Well, I mean, I think Derek Carr has made an actual trademark out of that. So, you know, my God, I hate that rule. But the Pro Bowl, it's prideful guys putting it all on the line, Ray, for maybe a Carr. If you win it all, you don't like that?
In honesty, no. It offends me, basically, viscerally.
It offends you.
Yes. So I'm going to ask this again. Who do you have on Sunday? Since you're contractually obligated to pick.
Okay, I got the AFC, I'll take the AFC.
So you're taking the three. That's good.
Well, I'm taking. I don't even know what that is. What are you talking
about? Of course not. That's why I love you. Your ignorance is selective and brilliant.
Yeah.
It is. I'm like the unfrozen caveman lawyer.
Rich, we appreciate your time and we appreciate the material because we're probably going to spend the rest of the show debating on your list here whether Sherman, your number 8 Super Bowl story, should actually be number 5 with Brady sliding down to 8 because Ray loves that kind of discussion.
I bet you do. It's all lists all the time with you, Ray, I'm sure.
I'd take a hammer to my head.
Thank you, Rich. Enjoy the game. Thanks for your time.
All right. Take it easy.